Luke 6, chapter, I mean, yeah, chapter 6, verse 38. We're still studying the word give, didomai. It means what a thing does by nature. You understand that?
Which word?
Give.
That's what give means.
It's didomai. It's what a thing does by its nature. Man, Adam, cannot give. Because to give in this context means the expectation of no thing from it. That's what we studied all day yesterday.
I know. I just didn't realize the word give was didomai.
D-I-D-O-M-I, didomai. And it's always for someone else's advantage. There's nothing to do with you.
Always for someone else's
advantage.
What?
It's always to benefit someone else without regard to you.
And you're saying that man is incapable of that? Cannot do that
since the fall?
Right, because man always, no matter how righteous you think you are, you want some response, either a thank you or something. You want a transaction. In pure love, there is no transaction.
And that's by nature.
It's by its nature. That's why we studied forgiveness for so long. You forgive.
Forgive.
She's gonna blow.
No, this is a reminder.
That you're 5 minutes late?
No, offend yesterday. He said, remind me tomorrow about offend.
There it was.
How appropriate.
And that was kind of an offensive reminder.
Well, I asked you about the Greek for offense in this one passage.
And right now, I'm not going to tell you squat. We'll have to wait till later when your machine doesn't go off.
Well, I had it written down as well. I guess this I forgot to
give. Didomai. Let's go to Revelation 17.
That's at the corner.
I am. Already done.
The word let keeps coming to mind in this context.
The word what?
Let.
I've often said the two most important words in the Bible are let and reckon. Because you let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You let it by, the only letting is emptying. And you reckon in every aspect of your life that you have no life, that it's all His life. There's nothing can happen to you. There's nothing, you're out of the picture. Reckon and let. Reckon yourself crucified. The way you do that is you mortify, consider dead every aspect of your natural life. Now, again, this is sealed in baptism. Flesh is never again to be tested. It was God gave flesh every possible chance from the beginning. When they crucified the Son, His Son, and flesh lost. There's never anything going on with you. Until you see that, you will walk in deception. You'll think something's happening to you, or God is dealing with you. No, He's not. Everybody understand that? Because if that's not the case, then you don't believe in the Holy Trinity. You believe in the unholy quartet. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me. This is why this modern Christianity that says, you know, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Well, that automatically puts you in the picture. And so you've defiled the Holy Trinity. Now that's radical. What?
You turn the Trinity into a pyramid scheme. Just adding members to your line.
Yeah, well, I came up with another name for the unholy quartet, but I don't think you'd like it.
Then you better not say it.
Well, it's the unholy foursome.
Verse 17. Chapter 17.
Worry?
Well, let's go. Let's start earlier. This is about Babylon.
Worry?
Revelation 17. Verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the works of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now the word didomai there is God hath put is didomai. God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. There's nothing that's happening in the universe that isn't fulfilling his will. All right. Let's go to 21, Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, it doesn't mean a new earth. It's just the word eretz, which means a position or place. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now the reason there's no more sea is the parable of the people. That's what we just read, right? And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, but it should say in men. And he will dwell in them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be in them and be their God. Now let's go over. I want to show you one more thing. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come here, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And what it means, it's every time it says high mountain, almost every time it says high mountain in here, it means a great high place. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was, etc., etc. So there's two places in Revelation 21 where John saw the New Jerusalem descending out of heaven. Where did it descend to? It descended to here. Now that happened on the Feast of Pentecost. That's when John saw this happen. On the Feast of Pentecost, it says God moved over the face of the waters and said, let there be light, and there was light. That happened on the Feast of Pentecost. When all the people were of one tongue, and now God said, and now nothing that they conceive to do shall be withholden. So he, what did he do? That was from the Tower of Babel. he said, no, this isn't going to happen. So he confused the tongues. On the Feast of Pentecost again, well, David died in the Feast of Pentecost. All things, kind of things happen on the Feast of Pentecost. But the main thing from our perspective is that not only was the Spirit of God shed on all flesh, which means the Spirit or the sperma of God, the seed, that's the only thing the Holy Spirit does, is it's of and about this mystery of Christ. So the sperma of God was shed on all flesh, and the New Jerusalem came down, adorned as a bride. Now, if you have eyes to see, then wherever you look, you see the finished work. You see the glory of His majesty. You see the perfection of His holiness. Because it's all finished. Amen? Let's go to Hebrews 2. We're going on a trip. What? What?
It was what? Unimportant comment.
What did you say?
Said we're going on one on Friday.
So we're going on two trips then. Hebrews. The first part of Hebrews, the last part of Hebrews 1 is all about the mystery of Christ. And then it says in chapter 2, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visiteth him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus. What's that mean? He has put all things in subjection under him, but we do not yet see all things. And the place where you don't see all things, you are to see Jesus. Now, what does that mean? It means faith says that something that you don't put, that you haven't yet seen put under him, is already under him. And that's the mystery of seeing Christ. That's why you can look, and wherever you look, you can see that every knee is bowing. Every tongue is confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. They don't know they're confessing it. They don't know they're bowing to it, because there's only one will of God. There must needs be heresies, so that the contrast will prove the truth. Let's go to Hebrews 4. We're there. Oh, I am. Hebrews 4. We just got all of Hebrews 3 is about exhort one another daily while it is still called today. Exhort, meaning to cause one to pass from one state of being to another, to cause you to pass from time and space to eternity. And the only the definition of you being in eternity, well, let's go there. Let us therefore fear, chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he is saying, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in another, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus or Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us therefore labor. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Every word written in the Old Testament was for our exhortation that we might see what happens with no faith. Can you see the majesty of this a minute? Can you see how every idea, every plan, every purpose, every agenda, every invention, every so-called improvement since the day of the cross has been an attempt to flee from the revelation of Christ? Doesn't matter what it is, no matter how good it seems to be. I wish each one of you would have had this experience about seeing this hydrogen bomb. And a hydrogen bomb is different than an atomic bomb. It's one is fusion and one is fission. One is like the hydrogen bomb is like you took a piece of time out, just a slight piece of time. And an island that was, as big as from here to Lakewood, or bigger, was just dissolved as though it never existed. It wasn't like, ruined, or it was dissolved. All those ships that were surrounding the island, with no people on them, unfortunately, they were dissolved as though they never existed. And that's what the conversion experience should be in you. Every idea, every plan, every agenda, every value system is dissolved as though it never existed. Now you are a new creature, a new creation that has absolutely no reference to the past. Your home is not the earth. Your home is this new Jerusalem. Your birthplace is the New Jerusalem. You have no reference to the past, no concern for the future. Because your speech and your thought are seasoned with salt. There is a component of eternity in everything you think and everything you say. not this vain babbling.
That makes sense for what the Paul said, to exhort each other while we call it today, or what?
Well, it's still called today.
Well, it's still called today, so that was the eternal now, that there's no tomorrow.
Right. And but it's not going to be called today much longer. Today is only what is called in time. Today is really Jesus Christ. The Sabbath is Jesus Christ. We labor to enter into that rest. The rest is Jesus Christ. And we're celebrating all of this on Pentecost. And you celebrate it by understanding that you are being buried in baptism. Some of you have been raised from the dead. So you're walking around as a zombie that needs to be rebaptized in order to see that that is your... It certifies, it puts the seal on that your flesh... There's nothing about your flesh has any merit or any worth anymore because you are buried. Nothing about your mind, nothing about your... There's a new creation. His own right arm, his own seed, his own zeruah has gotten him the victory. What are you doing, Gary?
Well, when you talked, you said resurrection, it made me think of, I guess there's two places you can be resurrected, either back into self or into Christ. It's all a function of what you see.
What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. That's the way we're created. That dissolving thing, that's why the foundation is named Trinity. Because that was the name of the first bomb. The hydrogen bomb is always named Poplar, but that was a stupid name for an organization. So. No, look, after the tree, Poplar.
Too close to that other guy.
What?
Too close to that other guy named Pop. He's off.
It's hopeless.
Hmm?
It's hopeless.
Take it, big guy, quickly.
So, offend, can we go over that tomorrow?